Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Everybody, welcome to the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up, with me, Julie Hayden, and Chuck Bonniewell, who's joining us late from hair and makeup. Welcome to the show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. We're going to get Daniel Greenfield on, we hope, today, and then plenty of other stuff to talk about. Dave Williams, the Colorado GOP chair, has responded to the illegal coup attempt in a letter. A great response, I think.
I thought it was a great response.
And so we'll be talking about that. We've got Trump doing a takedown at the National Association of Black Journalists. And the Tina Peters trial starting today. So a lot to talk about. But first, we'll start off with Daniel Greenfield, the Front Page magazine, author of Domestic Enemies, The Founding Fathers Fight Against the Left. Hey, Daniel, thank you for your time. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Daniel.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you bet.
So there's so many things to talk to you about actually today, but kind of wanted to start off talking about, because you had a column up, I think, in Front Page magazine, essentially talking about sort of the problem with Kamala, the love fest with Kamala. I mean, we've got Kamala Harris, who couldn't even make it in her own state in the last presidential primary.
Couldn't even get to the vote.
Polling worse than Joe Biden. All of a sudden now she's the beloved savior, was never a border czar. I mean, what do you make of this kind of bizarre, I'm just calling it a love fest that the media seems to be engaging in?
It's completely artificial. It's social media manipulation. It's financial manipulation. We know a whole bunch of that. Sudden surge of donations is absolutely fake. But they have to create this cult of personality, and they have to do it within a very short time. When they really launched this bid to unseat Joe Biden, to remove him, they had a very limited timetable in which to do it. And they knew they would have to substitute somebody very, very quickly. There was a lot of debate within Democratic circles about how to do that. They decided it was legally easier to stick with Kamala, but because of her fundamental problems, they had to launch a campaign really fast and at the same time make it seem like she was chosen by somebody other than the billionaires who came in and said, we're not going to give Biden any money. So they're creating this fake popular enthusiasm for her to counteract the fact that the only reason she's there is because she was undemocratically chosen by a bunch of billionaires to replace the actual choice of the guy who actually did win all the Democratic primaries.
Well, thank God, though, they're saving democracy for us, right? I mean, it's like...
It's wonderful democracy, you know, saving techniques where you don't need votes.
Or voters.
Save democracy. Yeah, it's a different...
It's easier that way.
Well, it's a different definition of what democracy is, which is really ruled by Democrats.
Yeah, sometimes you have to kill democracy to save democracy. And sometimes you have to save democracy from the will of the people.
Right. What about that? One of the things I found interesting is it seemed like very briefly the media went back to sort of asking hard questions of the Joe Biden folks, telling the truth, you know, not just peddling the lies. But that lasted about 2 weeks.
It really wasn't telling the truth.
No.
They were just attacking.
Well, they were puppets.
The rules, you know, the same billionaires that said, we got to get Joe out. Easy way or the hard way. So they tried the easy way. That didn't work. So then they said, okay, 25th Amendment, and your vice president is all in.
Well, and I guess my question was going to be, and then in the meantime, though, I mean, for a while, they looked like they were being truthful, at least on the surface, and I understand what you're saying. But now they've gone back to being the puppets. I mean, are you, I guess it's a silly question, but are you surprised at how quickly the media just fell right back into step with the Democrats?
We have always been at war with Oceania type of thing. You know, they're never anything except the communications arm for the Democratic Party and the left. Everything they report is an agenda. So the moment the Democrats panicked after that debate and realized this is really bad, we could lose the election, and that understanding sank in, the media began doing the regime's job. It began falsely claiming this was some sort of conspiracy that, you know, Biden's inner circle was hiding this from the public when the media itself had seen this, had lied about it. for years at a time, certainly well throughout the election up to now. And then the media pivoted right back to celebrating Kamala after they launched attack after attack on Joe Biden to force him out. Everything the media says is entirely agenda-driven. None of it is honest. None of it is accurate. They never ask questions except when they want to get the specific answers that they want to hear.
Well, they did the Sarah Palin attack on J.D. Vance, which they had to do immediately because he seemed like he'd be attractive. And they had to define him themselves as a person who hates cat ladies. And it's just amazing to see, you know, that, and attacking Trump is not very effective these days and tiresome. So at least they had some fresh meat to go after.
Yeah, well, they quickly pivoted to a strategy that's heavily based on building a cult of personality for Kamala and constant attacks on Trump, on Vance, on Republicans, because really they can't run on any kind of policies. They have nothing they can run on. They can run on the economy. They can run on fear-mongering about what Republicans would do, but they have they don't even want to talk about the Biden administration's policies. So right. All they can do is attack, 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 and build a cult of personality.
Do you think it's going to be as effective, though? I mean, you know, before, you know, the last election, you know, this at least this year, this time around, we have Twitter, which is much better than it was before. Facebook, it's not clear how much, you know, Zuckerberg is going to play. Although I think it is funny they were accidentally censoring, the search of the picture with Trump and his fist raised. I mean, I wonder if enough people have been red-pilled. Do you think that this narrative they're trying to push, this cult of Kamala, do you think it's going to be as effective as it may have been a few years back?
The bottom line is they can't run on change. And with Obama, yes, there was a cult of personality, but they could also tether it to the idea that this was a change candidate. Kamala is just not a change candidate because she's the vice president. She's been there in this administration for 4 years. And on top of that, just life is miserable. The economy is bad. People are not happy. So, you know, taking the number two for Joe Biden and talking about how awesome she is only going to go so far. And it's going to go further with younger voters who are really not in this economy so much than it will with older voters who are.
What about the enthusiasm factor? My daughter is liberal, and or at least leans liberal. And, you know, she doesn't like Trump, but she certainly didn't like Biden. So we were asking her about Kamala, and she didn't.
She was a blank slate.
Yeah, she was sort of a blank slate, but she her general impression was like, frankly, she was like just not enthusiastic about it. And she said, to tell you the truth,
I don't know much about that.
But she said she probably won't vote. And I would think
she didn't say it this time with Kamala. She certainly with Biden, she wasn't going to vote. With Kamala, it may depend on.
What about I guess I'm asking you, what's your sense on the enthusiasm gap and how significant it might be?
It's going to help somewhat with the enthusiasm gap, but keep in mind a lot of younger voters generally don't vote anyway. Things are going to come down very much, of course, to turnout. That's the hard lesson we've had with previous elections. The public relations matters less than the people who are actually going to go to the polls. And it's going to be less about how great Kamala is, it's going to be how awful Trump is. They're going to pound the drum for, you know, particularly young women. They're going to emphasize abortion nonstop. They're going to talk about Republicans wanting to ban birth control and every other possible means. Really, they can't run on Kamala any more than they could run on Biden. They're going to run on fear.
How do you say, I mean, to me, though, it seems like I wish that Biden had stayed in, right? That made me happy.
Well, everyone did.
Yeah, exactly. Do you, because you look at the polls, and I think any more of the polls from now until election are going to be lies, I think, one way, shape, or form. I mean, what do you make of that? Do you think, I mean, my sense is, though, that she is certainly a better candidate than Biden. What do you think?
Well, I think, obviously, yes, we can't particularly trust the polls. That said, they have to really roll her out within a short amount of time. You know, 3 months, they're going to have to actually seal this deal. And that's going to be hard. They're going to have to keep her locked up under controlled environment in media interviews. They really are going to be very insecure about this because the reality is the unfiltered Kamala is pretty bad. So they're going to have to be even more controlling than they were with Joe Biden. That is definitely going to hinder them.
Yeah. Well, do you think that the non-convention convention Democratic convention is going to be helpful? I mean, it's pretty hard to say, okay, we've already decided everything. Now start cheering, you know, and after the very successful Republican convention, they're searching the hinterlands for real people like like the Trump group did. It was so effective having voices of real people. And so they'll try to garner up as many real people as they can find if there are any on the Democratic side.
It's a problem. And one of the big problems for them really is the switch, because Kamala's base are pretty much Hillary voters, upscale white liberal women, some black women. Biden actually did manage to make small inroads with white working class voters, with some older voters. They're going to lose those people now. And they're desperately searching for a VP candidate who can get some of those people back. But it's just going to be challenging for them, because Kamala is just so far to the left, and they're going to maybe pick up some voters in that base. But those are the voters they already had anyway. They're really going to lose more, worth make up for that by losing white working class voters.
What percentage at this date do you give Biden, not Biden, Harris versus Trump, who wins? What do you think the odds are?
If you're in Vegas.
You're a betting man.
If you're in Vegas.
The important thing to remember, by the way, is that Kamala is polling as well as she's ever going to poll. This is the burst of enthusiasm. People haven't really met her. She's not going to do any better. When it comes to the actual election, as in the Electoral College, she is still polling badly. She's polling better than Biden, but she's still polling badly. Is she going to win the popular vote? Yes, of course. Pretty much every Democrat is going to win a popular vote. They could run Bernie Sanders, or Joe Biden could die. They could run and they'd still win the popular vote because of the way the populations have been structured in states like California and New York. But are they going to win the Electoral College? No, I don't think they will.
Well, and you know, we have a friend who's a Democrat strategist, and this was the 2020 election. And he was talking about how awful Kamala was. And he was saying,
well, he's saying he hated Kamala, then he really liked Kamala, then he hated Kamala.
It was like every time she opened her mouth, it was kind of like Biden, you hated her worse. And he said, which is what I agree with, it's hard to put your finger on exactly, but there's something about her that is just very
off-putting.
She's not very likable. It doesn't come across as authentic. And I got to wonder, I mean, I'm sure that Trump would be like, sure, I'll debate you, because it does kind of, like you said, she's probably polling the best she's ever going to. And every time she opens her mouth, I think she comes across, maybe not every time, but she just comes across again as this unlikable candidate. I mean, what do you think?
Most politicians are fake. Talented politicians can make their fakeness seem authentic. You know, Bill Clinton was great at that. He could project empathy. Kamala is really extraordinary because she does not have a single moment of authenticity. It is really disturbing. So many politicians on both sides are fake, but they actually seem like they're normal people. Kamala never seems like she's normal, never seems she's authentic. It's a Hillary problem.
Yeah, and she's even worse.
Well, I was talking to somebody this morning who was a woman who said she comes across as a bar woman. Now, what does that mean? So we go to a bar, there's some women there so desperate for somebody to pick them up. And that's what Kamala is. She's just there. Hi.
I'll go home with you and you and you and you. which she's done, actually.
Well, she's done, as long as they have some money. You got some money? Or power?
Sadly, that's been her career. And she's trying to be something for everybody. She comes up as being nothing. Nobody can really understand what it is she even believes. She's disavowed most of her old views when she ran for president. And before she ran for president, she had disavowed those retroactively again. So she's constantly reinventing herself. And unlike Obama, she doesn't even stick to the reinvention. At any given time, you don't know what she actually believes, what she stands for. And the good guess is she stands for nothing.
Exactly. Let me, if I may, switch gears, though. I saw, if it's okay, I saw you were tweeting earlier today about the strike, the Israeli strike against the leader of Hamas.
In Iran.
What are your thoughts on that? And I mean, and then maybe even broader, how does, if you're Kamala Harris, how do you even respond to that? Because it's sort of like the Democrats have their whole Hamas problem as well.
One big question is who's actually running America. It's not at all clear. Is it Joe Biden? Is it Kamala's people? It's out to lunch. And the result is obviously the world is moving closer to chaos. And the war, the Israelis are doing what they need to do because they know they can't count on Biden. They can't count on Washington, D.C. to have their backs. And other countries are also going their own way. America's allies understand that they're on their own. America's enemies understand there's nobody actually watching the home front. And I would not be too surprised if we have a terrorist attack in the United States before too long.
Wow. Well, yeah, and yeah, that, I mean, when you look at what's going on, in spite of Kamala not being the border czar, you look at what's going on there. Here in Colorado, they had after the Venezuelan election, and the police are doing their best to be politically correct about it. Roughly 5,000 Venezuelans, many of them apparently
In Aurora, Colorado,
in
which
Aurora, Colorado, right? Gang members like took over this strip mall and were rioting. They were newcomers peacefully protesting. On the other hand, shots were being fired. They had to close all the stores.
and these are the anti-Maduro guys. I mean, they were celebrating prematurely, thinking Maduro was out, but they were doing it in a maybe South American manner.
But it was bizarre because people were like, wait a minute, where did
5,000.
5,000 Venezuelan gang members come from all of a sudden in Aurora, Colorado?
This is happening everywhere, unfortunately. Denver is a major flashpoint for mass migration. It's so bad they've actually begun, the governor began shipping them to New York and to other places. We're completely overrun. The Biden administration, of course, is not actually doing anything except thinking of the long game of transforming states into Democrat enclaves. And so many people are suffering from this, and so many people are looking around their neighborhoods. You know, Democrats looking around their neighborhoods. Black people in Chicago, New York are looking around their neighborhoods and saying, what is going on here? And I think that is really a fundamental question in this election because Kamala is indeed tasked with being a border czar and she's running away from that. She's running away from illegal migration, but she can't run away from the reality so many Americans are facing.
Well, and you're right. And I mean, what this is, what you were seeing were posts. I mean, these are people who just like went to Target, like literally they went to Target and they come out and all of a sudden there's this mass riot and maybe riot is, well,
Celebration.
celebration with gunshots and looting. And
As they do.
as they do coming out of Target. And so Target's hiding people inside the store. And like you said, they were kind of like, wait, what? Do you know what I mean? And then the police tried to say, oh no, it wasn't that bad at all. We had it totally under control. And the left-wing media was like, oh, it's totally being misrepresented. And so now, of course, the Twitter and everybody's flooding it with pictures. And you see this like literally thousands of cars blocking traffic at a major Colorado intersection. And I think you're right. That's the kind of thing that if you weren't paying maybe a ton of attention, you walk out of Target in Aurora and you're like, what the heck is happening to my
Downtown
neighborhood?
Caracas.
Right. And they can try to tell you you didn't see it.
Yeah, they weren't there.
They
She
weren't.
was not the border czar, and they're not there.
It's going to be hard, I think, for them to run from that, don't you think?
It is hard for them. So they're trying to change the subject. They're going to keep talking about their so-called bipartisan border bill, which was not bipartisan. It was not a border. It was a bill. All it actually did was redirect more money to quickly processing and legalizing the flood of illegal aliens. So that's their only argument that they've got. They've got nothing else except, you know, talking about how Biden limited the number of illegal aliens who can cross the border at any given time. What's actually happening is those illegal aliens are just sitting and waiting in Mexico and crossing in phases so they don't trigger Biden's so-called shutdown. We still have a massive illegal invasion problem, and nothing is being done to fix that.
No. Let me, final question for at least for me, unless Chuck has one. Any guesses, kind of going back to Kamala, they've announced that she will be appearing. They're taking a page from the Trump book where they announce that he'll appear with the VP candidate just to get people tuning in. And she's going to apparently appear with the vice presidential candidate at a rally, I think, in Philadelphia next week. Any thoughts on who that might be? And in the end, do you think it'll make that much difference?
I don't think people care that much who the vice president is. That's why the attacks on Vance and all the hype about who Kamala is going to pick is rather hollow. If she's, you know, doing a rally with the VP in Philly and she's not picking the state's governor, supposedly, and, you know, one of the front runners, that is going to be really weird and insulting and bizarre. At the same time, if she picks Shapiro, that is likely to be a mistake. But it's her mistake to make. I think any pick that she makes is going to be a problem because she's struggling with white working class voters. And I don't think any of those people can actually fix that problem.
Well, if I had to put my money down, it'd be on Beshear, the governor of Kentucky, who won't do her any good. It's not going to help Kentucky, which is overwhelmingly going to go to Trump. He's a nice enough, white guy, which apparently checks off the boxes now. And now you have to get a token white guy who wants to do it because more people. Cooper dropped out. Gretchen Whitmer dropped out. I mean, lots of people dropped out. And she was done, Shapiro, and everybody's going, ooh, that'll piss off the massive Arab group in Michigan, and so they're down to Bashir, who's pleasant enough, and nobody will have to worry much about him.
I guess we'll see, huh?
Yeah, I think so. You know, whoever she's going to pick, it doesn't eclipse her personality, which is still awkward, off-putting, and radical.
All right.
Hey. Well, I would like to know, what do you think is going to Iran's responsibility or attack on Israel be now that they killed the Hamas leader in Iran? I mean, that's a little insulting.
Iran has been hiding behind Hezbollah, has been hiding behind Hamas, has been hiding behind the Houthis in Yemen and using them to carry out attacks by going and directing to Iran. Israel actually forces a confrontation. It actually says, if you want to attack us, then actually do it to our face. Come out here and do it. And I think that's an important strategy because right now we've got this Iran running toward a nuclear bomb, thanks to Obama, and they've been able to use other terrorist groups to launch attacks on Israel and America. By the way, it's killed a number of American service members, and we haven't called them out on it. We haven't confronted them. Israel is doing it. It's doing the work that we're not doing, unfortunately.
But how can Iran respond? Because they probably can't do nothing.
They're going to launch some more rockets. We've already seen what they can do. But their Hezbollah proxies are already launching rockets. The Houthis are already launching rockets. Rockets is their business.
Rockets are us.
All right. Hey, Daniel, thank you for your time and
we
your
appreciate
insights
you
today.
Coming on.
Appreciate it. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Daniel Greenfield there with Front Page Magazine.
That's great.
And check out his book, Domestic Enemies, The Founding Fathers Fight Against the Left. We've got a bunch of comments here. We can read those. I like because Leo, because not even Venezuelan gang members want to live in San Francisco. And then from Jacob. Big time New York Times article from a section of Brooklyn that voted 92% for Biden over Trump. So did they vote? So they did vote for this. This is a group of Clinton Hill residents. Oh, protest the migrant shuttles. Yes, I saw that. And then Johnny for running for HD5, by the way, Harris did not show up for the Black Press face off. Wonder why. Hey, Johnny, I saw. Did you want to? I see you've turned. Do you want to comment in? You want to go ahead and unmute yourself and weigh in here?
Yes. I just watched that interview and they had one nasty lady up there.
We're going to play that. We've got the sound on that.
Oh God. Oh man.
So he's an ABC reporter.
Oh, no wonder. Instead of asking a question, it was almost like an attack.
Yes.
Now you answered the attack.
Right.
And it was almost like he held his own, but I knew that Harris wouldn't show up because I guess she wants to throw that stuff out there. He won't debate me. He's not going to debate anybody on that side until after, I believe, after that, after they go through their
convention.
The convention. So it was interesting. It was kind of cringing sometimes because that one lady who just kept attacking, and I'm glad he addressed it rather than go over it because some women like that, I just call them the unhealthy cat women.
Yes.
Well, there you go. You and J.D. Vance.
Okay. All right. Let you guys get on with it.
All right, Johnny. Johnny
Take
Johnson
care.
There. So we can play that. So Trump made an appeared today and spoke at the National Association of Black Journalists. And Rachel Scott, an ABC reporter, just started off. And, I mean,
snarky,
not even
awful.
Pretending to be even polite, right? Not
no.
let alone unbiased, not even pretending to be polite. So let's just go ahead and play that. Thomas, if we could please play the Trump soundbite.
People did not think it was appropriate for you to be here today. You have pushed false claims about some of your rivals, from Nikki Haley to former President Barack Obama, saying that they were not born in the United States, which is not true. You have told four congresswomen of color who were American citizens to go back to where they came from. You have used words like animal and rabbit to describe black district attorneys. You've attacked black journalists, calling them a loser, saying the questions that they ask are, quote, stupid and racist. You've had dinner with a white supremacist at your Mar-a-Lago resort. So my question, sir, now that you are asking black supporters to vote for you, why should black voters trust you after you have used language like that?
Well, first of all, I don't think I've ever been asked a question so in such a horrible manner, first question. You don't even say, hello, how are you? Are you with ABC? Because I think they're a fake news network, a terrible network. And I think it's disgraceful that I came here in good spirit. I love the black population of this country. I've done so much for the black population of this country, including employment, including opportunity zones with Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina, which is one of the greatest programs ever for black workers and black entrepreneurs. I've done so much, and, you know, and I say this, historically black colleges and universities were out of money. They were stone cold broke, and I saved them, and I gave them long-term financing, and nobody else was doing it. I think it's a very rude introduction. I don't know exactly why you would do something like that. And let me go a step further. I was invited here, and I was told my opponent, whether it was Biden or Kamala, I was told my opponent was going to be here. It turned out my opponent isn't here. You invited me under false pretense. And then you said, you can't do it with Zoom. Well, you know, where's Zoom? She's going to do it with Zoom, and she's not coming. And then you were half an hour late, just so we understand. I have too much respect for you to be late. They couldn't get their equipment working or something
Mr.
was
President,
wrong.
I would love to answer the
very
question
nasty
on your
question.
I mean, good for him for calling her out. I mean, what a biased question. In fairness,
no, it's not a biased
journalist,
question.
Stupid, right? And he's gone. I mean, it's just, and bias isn't even it. I mean, she's making it sound like he barged in. He was invited, for Pete's sakes, right? It's
you
like,
you shouldn't have come here at all. We invited you, but well, that was a mistake.
It was a mistake. No one asked me about it. I am the elite.
I am part of ABC.
The elite black people and all those other black people. Certainly, Tim Scott has no idea what he's doing. And then he went on. I mean, you got to love Trump. He doubled down, as did Vivek Ramaswamy, saying, and what about this comma being black? She didn't used to be black. She used to be Indian, right? And all these sound bites are all over the internet talking about how she was like the first Indian senator and the first this senator. And then her birth certificate, no wonder birth certificate does it say black, right? And Trump just kind of points that out and they freak out about that. I think it's...
Well, and you know, she's half subcontinent of India. The other half, her great-great-grandfather was a slave owner. And so he was white. And so she is, you know, I don't know what percentage, who knows, but, you know, 40% black and 60% other things, including white. But now she's, you know, she's a darling princess of the black community.
Except for those who don't like her. I mean, but that's just their, you know, their identity politics, right? Everything is race, race, race to them, right? You know, and
but
so.
It's got to be the right race. And Kamala's done a good job. So, oh, I can be either, you know. I can be with,
Indian, if that works for me. I can be black.
Or I can come from slave owners if you want me to be that. And, you know, you can be whatever you want.
But it is like Trump is like he didn't get upset. I mean, if you didn't see the video, you watch his face. He's not rolling his eyes. He's just kind of sitting there letting her go on and spew her poison. And then he just says, you know, that was just really horrible. He didn't even say hello. You know, so I thought that was great. Hey, want to switch gears a little bit and talk about just kind of update you on the illegal coup attempt meeting.
By the establishment rhinos.
But yeah, Trader Todd and the establishment coosters, I'm calling them. The coopsters.
The coopsters.
Okay. Or somebody wrote the Bremenistas. The Eli
like
Bremer.
Yeah, like the Bremenistas.
Bremen. I think that was Steve Collier referred to them as the Bremenistas.
After Eli Bremer.
So as we updated you on Monday, the judge issued a temporary restraining order prohibiting the meeting. So they called it a rally. It's our understanding that Todd Watkins and Nancy Pelosi asked for the court to reconsider.
Filed a motion. We're not sure whether it's with counsel or without counsel, whether they got advice from Chris Murray and others or not. But out for them, and if the motion to reconsider isn't granted, you know, I guess we'll try to go up to an appellate court, but it's unlikely that they'll just go jump at it.
Well, at a certain point, they're going to have to start spending money on lawyers. I mean, the way I understand, and you're the lawyer, so typically with a temporary restraining order, it is not at all unusual for the other side, whatever the issue is, to ask for a motion to reconsider. And at that point, then the judge has a hearing and hears from both sides and decides whether to issue a sort of a permanent injunction or to continue the temporary one or to dismiss it altogether, right? Is that kind of typically? So it wouldn't be unusual if the judge or to say, okay, I'll hear what you have to say.
Well, eventually you have to have a hearing either on the permanent one or the temporary one.
But on the other hand, that is not the kind of thing I think that you could argue pro se. That'd be very difficult, right? I mean, they're going to...
No, you can argue pro se.
You think so?
Yeah,
okay.
You could.
I mean, Todd and Nancy?
Nancy, no.
I don't know.
Ask for a bowl of Cheerios. Nancy couldn't handle. I mean, She's as dumb as a rock,
but
Todd could do it, and people have. You probably do need an attorney who is going to help guide.
Right.
File with the court, then you got to have this in it and that and other things. But no, I don't,
Right.
And so maybe they're doing that. I mean, I talked about it before. Chris Murray is the one they want for legal counsel. Apparently, he got thrown out of Brownstein, and started his own firm.
I don't know if he got thrown out. He might have left.
No.
I guess you wouldn't necessarily leave Brownstein.
No,
yeah,
it's a big firm, lots of money. And either you go to another big firm, if you had a big book, which means clients, and if you have a lot of clients, a lot of people want you. If you don't have a lot of clients, then you have to go out on your own. Maybe you could go out 5-6 other attorneys with you. But it doesn't sound like that. So whether it was a gentle push or a kick, who knows? And Chris is a nice enough guy. They're reeling right now because they've been so...
The Koopsters, Trader Todd and the Koopsters and the Bremeristas.
The Bremeristas. I mean, they've been kicking everybody as hard as they could.
And Jacob, we'll get to the J.D. Vance stuff here in a second, but letter after letter. So, I mean, Eli Bremer wrote a Dr. Zhivago-esque kind of letter on why he needs to be the state party chair, never mind the fact that there already is one. And all of
No, it wasn't so much that. It was. He just said, I want to report back to you about the meeting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or the rally we had. And then he it was
self-serving.
Well, it was neither convincing nor well-written or anything else.
Meantime, all of these counties, Douglas County, in Adams County, Jefferson County, have all come out saying that their county Douglas County need to knock it off, that the county Republicans like Dave Williams. But what the main thing I wanted to talk about briefly here, well, not briefly, for a little bit here, is Dave then put out a letter yesterday, I think it is, and he responded to that, right? And I won't read the whole thing.
No,
and
you don't want to do that.
And do that, but I think some of it I think is good. He said, here's the thing.
I think it's all good, but there's some prominent...
Most of these individuals are acting out of personal vendettas or have an agenda to undermine many of the reforms that the majority of the Central Committee voted to pass. In addition to not wanting to rally around President Trump during the final stretch of the election, many of these individuals want to end the lawsuit against Colorado's unconstitutional open primary and stop the implementation of the opt-out, which is authorized by the overwhelming majority of delegates at the 2024 state convention in April. So that's what we've been saying. These are never Trumpers. These are people who hate the grassroots. These are people who...
Now you have to understand, now because Trump is so overwhelmingly popular, they will pretend that they're pro-Trump. But
they're not.
Anybody who's watched them know they're not.
That's right. And then Dave went on to say one of the things that they're claiming is, oh, well, the state party isn't helping the local candidates, which isn't true at all. I mean, number one, the state party, it's not like they have a ton of money to help, right? But
the reason they don't have any money is by and large because, the Democrats got passed the campaign financing. And so very little money goes to the state party. And so it's very tough. To do a lot. They can't give much money except for a few picked out rate.
And we don't have like Act Blue where you could just like take, you have like billionaires who donate in the name of 8 million different people who have no idea. Another
5,000
thing too,
Venezuelans.
And I just want to read this from Dave, just again, to set the record straight. He said that, that there are a lot of people who are, you know, using this coup attempt saying, oh, well, the state party under Dave isn't helping local candidates. And he said, well, those people are either lying or they're ignorant about the facts. We know this because we have all the communications records to all the campaigns we have contact information for. If anyone pushes a narrative contrary to this, please ask him to produce the evidence and reach out to the state party so we can share all the receipts with anyone who wants to see for themselves. So, and you said, meanwhile, no one's ever talked to Tom Bjorklund. None of them.
Well, it's just a Zoom call where anybody in the state central committee could ask whatever questions they want of the state treasurer, not state party treasurer, and he'd answer them. And so on that call were Nancy Pelosi and Todd Watkins. Now, Nancy Pelosi's not going to talk because, you know, she's a stone. But Todd is always happy to burst in, and he said nothing. He just refused to even ask a question, although he's happy to make all kinds of allegations.
And then Dave kind of ends, we invite this vocal minority to stop sowing division and spreading lies that are easily disproved. Instead, they should start putting all of their energy and money into defeating radical Democrats like Kamala Harris, Yadira Caraveo, and Adam Frisch. And then he says there will be another Zoom meeting here coming up soon. He'll let everyone know. I'm glad he did that.
No, it's really well written.
Right. And it's sort of so, and hopefully that'll put it to rest, right? If they want to stir up, again, as we've said, if they want to push a candidate for next spring, even if they want to try to do a coup attempt after the election.
After the 7th.
You know, then maybe let's talk about it then. But in the meantime, there is so much work to be done. We actually have a good chance here in Colorado to maybe take some seats back in the legislature to help with Trump, at least to make a good showing. So that's where we need to be spending.
Well, but they don't want to. They don't want to get showing because then they go, Williams did well. And Trump, you know, now with Dick Wadham saying everybody hails Trump. If Trump comes close or takes the state, I mean, what's Dick Wadham's going to say?
Right.
It was election integrity. It was like ballot harvest.
Exactly. And then from Dr. Donna, she's talking about Barb Kirkmeyer, Kathleen Chandler. That's right.
What is she saying?
She just said those are some of the people who were there. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
This nonsense has made things difficult for local candidates also. Well, exactly. And Dr. Donna, that's their goal, is to make things difficult, right? If you're a local candidate and you're trying, because the Democrats and the Anschutz-controlled media are happy to spread these headlines saying, oh, division, chaos, corruption in the Colorado Republican Party, which is not true. As we keep saying, there is a very small my group of establishment, elite, never Trumper, uniparty rhinos who are pushing this.
I wouldn't say it was very small. I would say it is a minority position, and they use that to pretend they start calling themselves aggressive.
But what I'm saying is the headlines would make it seem as if the entire Colorado Republican Party is in disarray, and it's not. The majority of people in the Republican Party, the grassroots, are unified behind America First. They're unified behind Donald Trump, and they're unified behind a state party leadership, Dave Williams, Hope Shuppelman, Anna Ferguson, who also support Donald Trump and the America First, right? And they have put out press release after press release, because I get them, and emails supporting the candidates in the all of the candidates, right? So this nonsense that they're not supporting candidates.
That's even a bigger problem. By and large, because they have the unaffiliated voting, the primaries went to the establishment people, the rhinos. And instead of supporting them and working for them, they're blowing up the party, so they lose. I mean, it's sort of amazing what a circular. It's not even a circular firing squad. It's a small group size.
Right, and now they're fighting amongst themselves. So that's the update on that. We will turn now, Jacob, because I wanted to talk about this too. Just we're jumping all over, but there's so much
that's
today.
Right.
The press is calling J.D. Vance weird for wishing people would have children and help their children with money. If I remember correctly, the Great Society, which created welfare, told the new recipients that they would get more money if they divorced their spouses and then had more children, so welfare would pay more. Like Nora O'Donnell, who was fired, but allowed to stay as a reporter for less money. And then Jim Jackson says, I'm going to have to get a bigger card. Now I'm a weird, deplorable, gun-loving, uneducated, smelly MAGA supporter. Mm-hmm. That's right. I mean, again, to me, it's hilarious that the freak show that makes up the people in the Biden administration, the Democrat Party, are calling J.D. Vance weird. And of course, they're completely misrepresenting.
But luckily, the Paris Olympics was inclusive.
Right. Yeah, there's nothing weird about that. Yeah, that was normal. J.D. Vance is weird.
Weird.
So somehow the lawfare people, the Arabella people, put out some email that said, okay, everyone's going to call J.D. Vance weird now.
Be weird. Well, that's the word you must use. And not strange.
Weird, exactly. Which is that, again, that's not going to, I don't think that's going to work.
Well, of course it works. That's how they do it.
But with J.D. Vance, it is interesting. They're attacking him, saying that he only wants people to have white children, even though he himself has, his children are biracial.
Yeah.
Right? Because his wife is Indian. So, they're going after him. I think Daniel Greenfield is right. In the end, because as you said, I mean, attacking Trump, it's like, well, that wasn't working. So now we'll attack J.D. Vance. But I don't think that's going
to
work.
They want to define him before he defines himself. And that's just normal things. And they did it to Sarah Palin successfully after her incredibly great come out at the convention. Then they did was attack her. And that's all they'll do now with J.D. Vance. But I think, I think everybody's tired of it. I mean.
Right. Well, there was I read an interesting thing. Alex Berenson, I talked about him before. He's a former New York Times reporter who has been like red pilled, right? He's not going to vote for Biden. He doesn't particularly like Trump. And he doesn't like J.D. Vance. And he kind of wrote this thing about J.D. Vance, where J.D. Vance was talking about, people matter more than ideals and blah, blah, blah. And Alex Berenson, to his credit, and his Substack published, it was a response. And he said, I got to admit, this response aimed some pointed criticisms at me that I need to take to heart. And I need to listen to this, right? Mm-hmm. And it was a woman who said, first of all, she said, I hope you take time to read this because I'm not a paid subscriber because I can't afford to be a paid subscriber, but I like what you write about. Mm-hmm. And she said, here's what you and the other people don't get about J.D. Vance. She said, you and the people like you intellectually know that there are people who struggle economically and socially in this country, but you don't have any actual experience or contact with them. You don't go to the schools they go to. You don't go to the restaurants they go to. You don't see them at the park. You have no interaction with these people. And she was saying J.D. Vance speaks to these people. She said, these are people who are like, somebody needs to address my sort of basic survival needs, and then we can talk about lofty ideals,
right?
And she said J.D. Vance gets that, and she said there are two. And I think in a way she kind of summed up the difference between Democrats now and Trump supporters. It's like the Democrats live in this elite world where they don't actually know anyone.
May see him on the streets occasionally.
Right. And then they give him a dollar or something like that, or they call if they're, in the way of their Uber. But they don't actually know anybody like that. So they have no real concept of what these people care about or what they think about. And J.D. Vance, whether you liked him or knew about him before, does.
Right.
Right. And so, and she was pointing this out to him, and she's like, and she was at the, she kind of summed it up saying, that's what you and people like you don't get about what's going on in America right now, that there are way more people out there who are struggling and confused and who are worried and anxious in ways you don't even begin to comprehend.
Well, there's an interesting thing I saw on YouTube, a guy, urban kind of elite, but he's better than that. And he took a drive through Appalachia, in particular the poorest counties that are next to Virginia and Kentucky. And it was fascinating to see these people, all of which are very kind, very nice, very helpful and so forth. They were all just suffering because Biden and everyone else closing down the coal fields, which that's the only business there. And then the youth, they said, oh, okay, 50% of the youth or less likes to work, and they can make a lot of money working because there's so few youth. The other half of the youth is on fentanyl. They're not on marijuana, they're on fentanyl, heroin, methadone, And you go, and they do no work. And they go, well, how can they do no work? And they say, and these guys explain, well, it's pretty easy. You know, all you have to do is claim some type of disability. Either, you know, you're anxious and depressed. That's one disability.
Or you're confused because you were a man. Now you're a woman, but
yeah,
you might be a whatever man.
Whatever it is. And then, you know, you'll get a disability check of $600 to $1,000. And with that, as long as your parents are willing to live, allow you to live in the basement, you know, you have enough to buy some drugs and maybe you trade some, but it's really depressing that, you know, that's the great society. The great society allows one half of the youth to do nothing and just barely get by as long as their parents are willing to support them.
Well, yeah. And I think that in a way, that's why they, some of the strategists, I think, are attacking J.D. Vance, because the Democrats don't have anybody like that anymore. I mean, that used to kind of be the Democrat Party, right? The Democrat Party were the people who represented that, right?
And they pointed out this one, this guy had looked through all the voting rolls and said it was deep blue up until about two elections ago or three elections ago. And now it's solid red. He said it wasn't just sort of kind of, you know, evolving. He said it went from blue to red, just boom.
That's right. From Charlene, no jobs in Appalachia. And from Jim, Peter Santinello, a great YouTube channel. Like, does he talk about that? And then from Charlene, Ross Perot told us about the great sucking sound. That's right.
Right.
But yeah, so I think that's one of the reasons they're attacking J.D. Vance is the strategists understand that once again, kind of like Trump, they've got a problem in that people relate to Trump, even though he's a billionaire, but he's a relatable kind of guy. J.D. Vance is a relatable kind of guy. Kamala Harris, not relatable, right? Democrats, not relatable. The Olympic opening ceremony,
inclusive,
not relatable to a lot of people, right? It's like there is so much the Democrats are doing right now that is just not relatable. So they got to attack J.D. Vance. The final thing I kind of want to talk about today is the Tina Peters trial. The second trial started today with jury selection. Ash App is going to be covering it. So when she has time, we'll probably get her to go ahead and give us a thing. Right. But if you remember, so back about a year ago, Tina was convicted of obstruction for not handing her iPad over to the police, scheduled to home detention, community service. Well, now she's facing the more serious charges. And essentially, the gist of it is, that in May of 2021, she allowed a guy who was using somebody else's identification badge, a security badge, to make copies of the Dominion hard drive before Jenna Griswold was going to go in and wipe it, right? In a scheduled, really quickly afterwards, right? And Tina, as you recall, because we've talked to her about it, we've had her on the show, tried repeatedly to call the Secretary of State's office to say, hey, look, I want to go ahead and make my own copy. I'm the county clerk and reporter. That's my job. That's my right to preserve the record. Well, she's being charged with, what does she call it? Because she was calling them, she's being charged with three counts of attempt to influence a public servant. She wasn't trying to influence a public servant. She was trying to get permission to do her job.
Well, aren't public servants there to be influenced? If you're not allowed to influence a public official, what are you supposed to do? When you call them up and say, I want you to vote for A or B, you know, you're trying to influence. So that's an interesting charge. But it's, and another part about this, which is really great, and it's really been a tactic by judges in the last 15 years where they don't allow you to put up a defense.
Right.
She wanted to put election integrity. And they said, no, you can't put up, which is the whole purpose of her making
that was her
the
motive,
thing.
Right?
Whole thing. And there are other defenses they wouldn't let her put up. It's like
whistleblower, right?
Whistleblower.
Because what they do that's so funny is all of the media, they all say there was no, she turned up, even Jimmy Sangenberg turned up not a shred of evidence. Well, she did turn up a shred of evidence. That was the problem. When she started talking about the evidence, that's when they started attacking her. And then they took it so she can't, you know what I mean? It's like if you talk to Tina Peters and you talk to some of the people who looked at the evidence that she found, there is a ton of evidence that indicates there were at least questions about the way that things were working, which would then sort of justify
but
what it was she did.
But judges to tell you, no, you can't have this defense. No, you can't have self-defense. No, you can't have any. There was one trial up in Oregon where the defense attorney just stood up and turned his back. He said,
no, they did the same thing to Trump,
yeah,
right?
Right?
I mean, they said, no, you can't use this as a defense. You can't use that as a defense. And so that's what's going on. And so don't be fooled. Again, all of the media stuff is going to say there was no, she never discovered any evidence. That's not true. They just are not allowed. Just like they say, nothing, no trials, no courts ever determined any evidence, because they wouldn't hear it.
Right?
It's like, I mean, so that's not true. The stuff, they make it sound as if she did all this god-awful stuff, tampering and hampering. What Tina Peters was trying to do was to, she knew that she had questions, right? She had questions. And what's wrong with that as a county clerk, that was her job, right? And when she tried to go through the official Secretary of State hack, Jenna Griswold route, to say, hey, look, let me just preserve this record before you wipe the machines clean, right? Which, why did they have to do that? And they said no, and they wouldn't talk to her. So she went ahead and did it anyway. And she's accused of having a guy use a fake security badge. But the point is, though, she was prohibited, and this is her defense, from being allowed to do her job. And the judge is not going to let her really use that as a defense. It's, the whole thing is just crooked. And remember, we were at the meeting a couple of years ago where Tina had the document that if she would simply drop it all, right, if she would simply agree to sign a statement that said that there was no election integrity issue, all of it would go away. They were willing to drop it all. All they're concerned about is silencing anyone who raises any questions.
And I bet she's sorry she didn't, quite frankly.
Well, I mean, she's a hero. She's been through,
she's facing lots of years in prison and on a corrupt judicial system with a corrupt DA who's a Republican. So it's a disgusting deal, and more and more, the whole justice system has to be reformed, because
that's
it's
right.
No longer performing what it was supposed to do.
And Jacob says, Julie, I sent you an article about someone who dumped the information Tina Peters gave him, and he ran the dump and found the ballot vote was not counted correctly. I mean, and here's the problem, Jacob. There are all kinds of reports like that. I know, and Tina makes those claims. Democrats in the state work, rather than saying, well, hey, that just maybe answer that question.
Yeah,
that's just
right.
Look at it. Huh? Well, that's just look at it. Let's do our own audit.
Sure.
We'll settle this once and for all. It's like, no, it's like we're going to throw Tina Peters behind bars for as long as possible for even raising the question. And anyone else out there feel like asking a question? Well, we're going to go after you, too.
Yeah.
So we'll keep you posted on that. Jury selection starts, I think, the trial 2 weeks. 2 weeks for this.
At least not in D.C.
Yeah, really. But anyway, hey, that'll wrap it up for us today.
We're done for today.
We're done for the day.
Well, we'll be back for Party Friday. And enjoy this heat. Enjoy this 98-degree weather, because it's better than the alternative.
No, it's not. I'm not sure what the other. All right. Hey, we'll see everybody on Party Friday.
Take care.